Brought to you from the Margaret Farrow Studio, this is Newsmakers.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. We are still more than 6 months out, but talk of November midterm elections is already heating up with eyes nationally on Wisconsin, including on our race for governor. Wisconsin's 46th governor, Democrat Tony Evers, is touting his record on fixing roads and increasing funding for education, while he faces criticism on the right on issues like public safety. So he is joining us today to talk about why he's running and how he answers those critics. Welcome, Governor Evers.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
So why are you running this time around?
Well, it's first of all, we have accomplished lots of things over the last 3 years, even in this difficult time when Republicans and Democrats don't agree on a lot. But, you know, whether it's fixing the roads or bringing broadband to over 300,000 households in the state of Wisconsin, lowering taxes, I think we have a good record. Obviously, there's lots of things to figure out going forward. We didn't accomplish everything we wanted to. And so, yes, it's some unfinished business, but I think the people of Wisconsin really need to have a conversation about what we have accomplished and where we're going from here.
So is that unfinished business the reason why you decided I need another 4 years?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you did have a lot of campaign promises. Yeah. What kind of grade do you give yourself for these last 4 years? You're the education governor. What's that grade?
Yeah, I know. Everybody asks me that question. But, you know, whether it is broadband or other issues, we have accomplished a lot. So I would say A minus would be good because, you know, you talk about school funding. I think you mentioned that. And we've got a ways to go there. We are at a historic level, but the way that money is funneled into property tax relief instead of, you know, serving kids, that's an issue. We have to have a conversation about that. So a lot of things going forward that we want to accomplish.
Do you think that it's reasonable to think that that particular issue around school funding could get done in the next 4 years?
There's no reason why it can't. We have a $3.8 billion surplus in the state. And we've got a lot of catching up to do in a lot of areas. And I would say school funding is certainly one. You're going to see a lot of referenda going on this April, and I'm sure we will next November. So that's the indication that there's a lot of unmet needs. But I also, shared revenue for our municipalities is really, really critical to make sure that our municipalities have the resources they need to.
So those are the two biggest areas of unfinished business. Would you say anything else on that list?
Well, we've got, you know, we're just beginning our efforts around environmental issues and, you know, with a lot of environmental issues. And we have some goals around that to be carbon free by 2050. We've got a lot of things to do yet, believe me. But that those are just a few of them.
So when you ran last time, first term as governor, has that experience these last 4 years been what you expected, or what are some of the things about that that you weren't necessarily anticipating?
Who could have anticipated a pandemic? There's no question that, you know, kind of sucked the air out of the room and really put our country and our world in a really complex, difficult place. And I think our response to that was good. Obviously, the Supreme Court made some decisions that I didn't think were particularly helpful. But at the end of the day, I was just amazed at the resiliency of the people of Wisconsin during a pandemic. It's easily the highlight of my 4 years as governor. It's seeing it in businesses and individuals. Obviously, we lost 11,000 people that we continue to mourn. But public health at the local level and the state level did a great job. And so I feel the response was good, but we're still recovering and we'll continue to recover for some time.
Anything about the day-to-day job about being governor that you didn't anticipate, but whether it's the budget process or working with the legislature?
Well, I anticipated it was going to be tough working with the legislature. They made it clear right from the beginning, even before I became governor, where they had the lame duck session and took some authority away from me and the attorney general. So there's nothing surprising. You know, The one thing, yes, we didn't agree on a lot, but I can guarantee you I've signed more bills than I have vetoed. And so people need to understand that there is a push-pull all the time, the political end of things. But, you know, just for example, just recently we passed a law that seems small, but had, you know, 100% support from the legislature. It was allowing people that are in our armed services that leave those positions that are already trained as medics, that you don't have to go through this arduous certification licensing process, that can be kind of truncated a bit because they already have that experience and they already have that type of training. Those things are really important. It, you know, kind of helps bolster our medical field and making sure we have lots of shortages there, but also honors people that are coming out of serving our country. Things like that happen every single day, to be honest with you.
Finding that bipartisan compromise.
Of course, absolutely. And so it's easy to kind of focus on the
polarization.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it is a thing. And I know people are sick of it, frankly, and that's why, you know, I think there are some basics here that are Wisconsin values and our kitchen table values. And it's around schools, it's around our roads, it is around our infrastructure, it is around health care. Some basic things that I think, for the most part, Democrats and Republicans get it. And so I'll continue to focus on those things.
Well, let's talk a little bit about those election issues that I'm sure you'll be talking more about between now and November. Crime is one of those issues. We know that people, Wisconsinites, are concerned about crime.
Right.
The Marquette Law School poll last fall said 2/3 of Wisconsinites think that crime is on the rise.
Right.
We're showing some data here from the Wisconsin Department of Justice comparing crime rates from 2019 and 2020. During that time frame, Wisconsin's violent crime rose by 8% nationally, a record one-year increase in homicides. That was true in Milwaukee. Kenosha set a record 2021. Are you concerned about rising crime?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And that is certainly not just unfinished business. That's a huge issue for the state and the country. And I'll go back to something I said before. You know, shared revenue is the state's largest investment in municipalities. And one of the largest investments for municipalities is public safety. And we, you know, the previous administration, I know I'm talking a lot about that, but the fact of the matter is they actually cut shared revenue over their time in office. And public safety expenditures went up 9%. So when I put together my two budgets, Republicans refused to have any increase for shared revenue. And that is not where we need to be as a state. We need to be helping out our municipalities. And some of that money obviously goes into whether you're going to be able to hire more police, more firefighters, more EMTs. And so there's a basic here that we have fallen down on significantly. That will continue to be a priority for me. That said, we've been able to use federal money through the American Rescue Plan Act to make some investments. We put money into violence prevention. I provided $19 million for every law enforcement agency in the state. They can use that money for hiring people, and training people. We put some significant money into the Milwaukee County to make sure that they have this huge backlog of people that haven't been to trial during the pandemic. And so it's a fairness thing. We have a huge backlog that really makes it, you know, difficult. And frankly, as we've seen with the Waukesha situation, where somebody didn't have the appropriate risk assessment and so got an extremely low bail, and the results are, you know, horrific response. So we need to make sure that we've cleared that backlog so that the system can work. Right now, it's not working very well.
So you're sharing what you say is your record on public safety.
Yeah.
Clearly, the right has been critical of you. Is that criticism is unfair, you would say?
Well, absolutely. I provided millions of dollars using the ARPA money because the legislature has refused to increase shared revenue. The best situation is to have shared revenue being increased. We can't just continue to starve our municipalities. How can they hire more people? How can they clear backlogs? How can they work on really innovative things like violence prevention
programs. So you'd point the finger on public safety back at the Republican Party.
Of course, you can't deny the fact that you're starving municipalities with 6% cut over over 8 years, and assuming that they're going to be able to keep running the shop the way they should. So yes, the state absolutely has a role in making sure that the municipalities have the resources they need. I provided almost $20 million of ARPA funds to every law enforcement agency. They can use it whatever they want. They want to hire people, they want to train people, they want to give bonuses to people. It doesn't make any difference to me. Those decisions are made locally all the time. They're not made at the state level. And so we'll continue to push that. My next budget,
expect more?
Absolutely. Okay. Shared revenue is huge. You ask any mayor in the state.
Okay. Education also becoming, always was an election issue. You mentioned tomorrow's election day, April 5th, in local communities. Mm-hmm. Lots of local referenda on the ballot. I think there's 81 communities determining whether or not they want to exceed those local caps on revenue imposed by the state. Right. Assembly Speaker Voss has said schools don't need more funding from the state. He responded to the state superintendent's comments back in September saying funding for K-12 education in Wisconsin is at historic levels. This year our schools received massive amount of one-time federal dollars. The Democrats' singular focus to push more money into schools isn't a winning strategy for kids. We need to look at improving how they're being taught so kids aren't struggling with the basics, reading, writing, arithmetic. Throwing even more money at the problem will not fix it. Evaluating curriculum, academic testing, allowing parents to be part of the conversation are the real solutions. Mm-hmm. So when you look at that, mm-hmm. does that mean that Wisconsin local taxpayers need to accept that local referenda as the way that they will continue to be funding their local schools?
I sure trust our local school board members to make that decision rather than Robin Voss. We have local control in the state, and I think we have a relatively good relationship, state and local. But at the end of the day, those decisions are going to be made by local school board members. And if 81 districts are saying we need more resources, and you even mentioned that, we provide a significant federal money, one-time money for our school districts. And if history is any guide here, as the speaker said, school districts are hearing him say that, hearing that we've got one-time money, knowing that money's not going to be there, from his vantage point, not going to be there. I'd go to referendum too. It's the wrong way to do it. I've talked about the historic investment, and we have had historic investments, but as everybody knows in the school world, the money that a lot of that money is for property tax relief, and because of cost controls or revenue controls, school district can't use that money. It keeps property taxes down, which is a goal in and of itself. I get that. But when we have school districts saying the resources aren't there, and I also take some umbrage to the fact that he talks about the difficulties of achievement. Of course there are, and especially in kids that don't have the support they might need at home and elsewhere. I get that, but at the end of the day, before I came into office, we ranked 17th in the country. We now rank 8th in the country. Do we have issues? Absolutely. But we, I trust local school districts. I trust local school districts. I trust the parents in those local school districts to make those decisions, not Robin Voss.
So when he says throwing even more money at the problem won't fix it, do you think that the state should be investing more money in schools with state tax dollars? And does that address these achievement concerns?
Yeah, it would if we could do that. I mean, as I said, most of the money going to or a good share of the money that goes to school right now is all about keeping property taxes lower. That's a worthy goal. But at some point in time, schools need to be able to move ahead. I'll use special ed funding as an example. Certainly, we don't provide enough resources there. Mental health for kids. Certainly, we've made some strides, but not enough. So, yes, I trust local school districts, boards, and teachers and parents to make those decisions. And if 81 school districts are saying we need to go to referendum, because we don't have the resources to do an adequate job. You've got to support that. Robin Voss is not running the show in Tolma or Oakfield or any other place that I've been. School board is, along with the parents and the teachers.
Is the Republican legislature's position on public school funding starving public schools?
No, I just don't think they listen to the 81 school districts. Obviously, have them if they're represented by Republicans in the legislature, they haven't made the case to those Republican legislature. I think Republicans value public education. I really do, but I just think they need to balance that to listen more to what the local school districts are saying.
Do you think we're at a tipping point with school funding in these next 4 years?
Yes, I do. I mean, we just can't continue to do what happens to those, say, 81 school districts are trying to pass referendum and 70 do and 11 don't. What happens in those 11 school districts? The state has an obligation to make sure that there's an equal opportunity across the state of Wisconsin. And if we're going to be relying on, we have 420-some school districts in the state, 83, 81 are saying we don't have enough resources, that's a good hunk. You know, we do the math, I think that's about 20% of the school districts.
There's also an education debate, as you know, kind of bubbling up nationally and in Wisconsin about how much control parents should have over what happens in the classroom, what's taught to their kids. The February Marquette Law School poll asked that question, and it asked who should have the biggest role in determining public school curriculum. 35% of likely voters said parents, 33% said teachers, 13% said school boards, 9% said superintendents and principals, just 5% said state legislators should have a major role in curriculum. Do parents have enough say about what is being taught in the classroom to their kids?
Yeah, and I would say that those figures are not only where they should be, I think it's kind of where it is now. I've always believed that parents are the first and best teachers of kids. And every place I've worked, parents are actively involved in curriculum development and monetary issues also. And so I've worked directly for about 120 school board members in my life, and not once did I ever think any one of those people, any one of them, were making decisions that were not in the best interest of kids. And somebody said, here's that list of 120. I could maybe find five that I might know whether they're Democrats or Republicans. That just isn't an issue. And so local control is important, having those school board members be active in the community and aware of what people want, having parents involved with curriculum. Absolutely, that's important, and absolutely it's being done. So it's not that I'm suggesting that that poll is wrong. I think it's reflective of reality.
So is this issue of parental control in the classroom, is this like a red herring election talking point?
I think so. I mean, there might be some place in the 420 school districts that some parents feel that they're not adequately listened to. But just from my experience, and it's pretty long in public schools, parents are involved directly. And, and it's not just PTA, PTO, it's curriculum committees and so on. So I believe that, yes, they should be involved, and I think, yes, they are, and I think, yes, this is a bit of a red herring. Because it comes out of the critical race theory and all that. Critical race theory isn't taught in our 420 school districts in the state. And so, yes, it's something that Republicans think they can make some hay on, and frankly, I don't think it's going to work.
So we're waiting once again for the state Supreme Court to rule on the redistricting maps. Mm-hmm. The U.S. Supreme Court sent your maps back, citing concerns about compliance with the Voting Rights Act. Are you confident that your maps adequately represent black voters in Wisconsin?
Absolutely. And I agree with the experts who helped us develop it, is that the seven districts instead of six, it gives blacks in the Milwaukee area more voice. And I think that should be our goal, is to make sure that happens. So I disagree wholeheartedly with the U.S. Supreme Court's decision, and we're waiting to find out what happens here in the state.
So you don't know who your challenger will be in the fall. There's this Republican primary that will happen in August. What are you watching for in that race?
Well, I'm seeing what I'm seeing, and is that everybody's just kind of leapfrogging to the right to, you know, I guess get Donald Trump's endorsement. I'm not quite sure, but I think at the end of the day, it is going to be, you know, to some extent, voting rights is a huge issue here in Wisconsin, but there are bread and butter issues that are important, and people continue to talk about it. Whether it's
are those candidates talking about those issues, do you think?
No, they're talking about making sure that we punish people for wanting to vote, make it more difficult. They're spending a lot of time talking about, you know, making it more difficult for people to vote. And if you're eligible, we should be encouraging people to vote instead of saying, well, yes, but you have to do X, Y, and Z. You know, think of a disabled person. There's an article in the paper the other day. He votes by mail. He wants to deliver it by hand, and he can't hand it off to the person that has done it in the past. What in the heck is that about? Why should we be so descriptive and prescriptive around that issue? The last election was fair. It was honest. It was secure. All the things that we treasure in the state of Wisconsin. So we spend $1 million trying to prove that something happened that didn't happen, and we have candidates kind of echoing that. To me, it should be about the basic issues, and I think I have a pretty good record on those, and so I'm going to be focusing on what I know people in Wisconsin care about.
So we're going to, speaking of election reform, yeah, and kind of the things that the legislature tried to move forward on that issue, we're going to hear from Speaker Voss talking about the need for election reforms and some of the bills that were proposed that didn't get signed into law.
You can go to the legislature's website and you can actually read the text of the bill. You have the ability to know exactly what's in there. And I think if the broad swath of citizens actually read what was in the bills that we're proposing today, the Democrats would feel pressure to actually push forward to say these are very reasonable ideas. But unfortunately, they have kind of got one talking point that you report on regularly, which is we don't really want to have people vote. Yes, we do. We want to make sure that every legal citizen has the right to vote once an election. That does not seem to be some kind of, you know, radical idea.
So Speaker Voss says in that clip that absolutely the intent of the election reforms that have been on the table for the GOP are not about limiting people's right to vote. You just categorically oppose that view.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And as I said, it's clear that the goal for Speaker Voss is to make it more difficult for people to vote. I mean, any of those bills, they haven't sent me all of them yet. So they're just kind of hanging out there in the ether right now. But they know this. I've said time and time again, it is, if people are eligible, we should be making it easier for them to vote, not more difficult for people to vote. That's a basics. For Speaker Voss, you know, over the last couple of weeks, it's been kind of a shift. He said there's been massive fraud. He's never said, or something like that. He's never said that before. He is now, you know, he's spending probably almost $1 million on the Gableman fiasco that is going on. He's been found to be in contempt of court and not providing records that exist or should exist around this, around the Gableman experience. So
is he distracted on this issue?
Yeah, I'd say. I mean, the concern I have, and I've been around a long time, the Wisconsin Elections Board was created by the Republicans because they didn't like what happened with the Government Accountability Board, and they didn't like what happened even before that. We just can't be changing our election system because you don't like the results. Maybe you should find a better way to make your case to the people of Wisconsin.
So a lot of eyes, we talked about nationally, on your governor's race, mm-hmm, with a lot of Democrats saying you are the last line of defense against the erosion of democracy. Do you see yourself that way?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, voting rights are important. We live in a democracy. The most important thing you can do in a democracy is participate in voting. And we do pretty good in Wisconsin. Why should we be discouraging people? And, you know, what concerns me, obviously, is not only now, but what happens in this next November? All the Republican candidates have said, you know, when Evers is gone, we're bringing this back. We're going to have it in place for the 2024 election and any other elections in between. So yeah, this is an issue around voting rights. I know it's so hyper politicized in our state that a lot of people have tuned it out, and I can understand tuning it out.
But do you think they should tune in?
You know, they're thinking about what happens to their kids in the schools and what's happening in the streets as it relates to crime and making sure that we have good health care. Those are things that are always going to be top in the mind. But yeah, it is an issue. The voting rights are really important for our democracy, and our democracy is at risk right now. Now, yes, I could spend all the days of my running for office talking about that. I'm not going to talk about it as much as the Republicans do, but that's an issue. I'm going to deal with it as those bills come through. I haven't seen them all, so I'm not going to say I'm going to veto them all. But at the end of the day, my goal in this race, or right now as governor of the state, is to make sure that we have a system that works, and the system that we have right now works.
Midterm elections, usually hard on candidates from the Republicans party, mm-hmm. or I'm sorry, from the incumbents party.
Right.
President Biden's approval ratings have been somewhat low.
Mm-hmm.
Do you anticipate this race to be closer than your last race where you won by 30,000?
Last time was close, Lisa. Very close.
Is it going to be closer?
No, I think it's going to be even. We're going to enlarge it, but it is. We are a purple state. I mean, no matter what happens, during the campaign, we're a purple state. It's going to be close. I'm working hard to make sure that I win. But it is. It's obviously an important race. Do I think that the president's ratings have a huge role in it? No, I don't. Mm-hmm. During the same
time. That doesn't make you afraid that it's going to be really, really
Oh, good. No, absolutely mm-hmm. not. I mean, my approval ratings have gone up. His have gone down. And so, and I think his will improve, but I'm not an expert on his numbers. I'm concerned about doing things for the people of Wisconsin, and that results in better ratings. So I think it's obviously an important race, but I do not think that whatever is happening with Joe Biden influences it. I think he's doing a pretty good job, frankly. You know, we've been able to put this money into schools and into law enforcement and, you know, our healthcare system and our businesses in the state of Wisconsin. We are number one in the nation in providing resources to the business sector during this pandemic. And that's playing out in having a relatively healthy economy. So people are concerned about those issues, and I'm going to continue working on those.
You mentioned we're a purple state. There is some polarization, clearly. Mm. How do you talk to undecided voters? What's your message?
Well, it is about, you know, you want your roads to be in good shape. We've done that. You want broadband in rural Wisconsin. We brought it to 300,000 people. Taxes too high. We reduce it. I promise we'd reduce it by 10%. We reduce it by 15%. So I can talk about what we've done, but I can also say, you know, using broadband as an example, we're just scratching the surface. We will need more investment, and the Biden infrastructure bill will help us do that. But we need more of that. We need to give kind of unhandcuff our school districts so that they don't have to have 81 school districts in April of this year going to referendum. So those are the things people care about, and that's a pitch I'm going to be making to them. And I'm also, frankly, someone that, and sometimes people criticize me for this, but I don't overreact a lot. That's something that I think people in Wisconsin value. You see it playing out in the voting rights issue. It couldn't be meaner or more mean-spirited than what it is, and it's especially problematic when it happens around people's right to vote. And so I try not to overreact to criticism, and I try to...
You don't read Twitter?
No, I don't participate in Twitter. I am what I am, and people in Wisconsin know me. I've run for statewide election a long time, and I'm looking forward to a win next November.
So, a last question.
Yeah.
What does the Evers family think about you running for a second term? Do they wish, Kathy, wish you'd be playing more pickleball these days?
No, they're all with it. I mean, they, They unfortunately, some of the criticisms, unwarranted criticisms, I think they take them more seriously. Not more seriously, but it hurts them. But they're supportive. They're ready for another term, and Kathy certainly is. She's spent a lot of time working on dementia issues and issues that impact our elderly in the state. And of course, early childhood is something that's really important to her. So, in addition to staying healthy by playing pickleball, she's out there advocating for her issues too.
Well, final question.
Yeah.
What about your bracket? What happened to your bracket?
Well, when you go with your heart instead of your head. But I do this every year. I always pick the Badgers to go to the Final Four and win. And so if they're not doing particularly well in the tournament, it automatically kind of
kills your bracket.
Absolutely. But okay. That's right.
Hopefully that doesn't foreshadow other things.
No. I know going in that unless the Badgers do well, I'm going to lose. So I'll lose with them.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for the conversation
today.
And
appreciate
we wish
it.
You good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
This program was brought to you from the Margaret Farrell Studio.
This program is a production of Wisconsin Eye, an independent, nonpartisan, nonprofit media network with a mission to inform, educate, and engage the citizens of Wisconsin. Wisconsin Eye is the nation's first and only independently funded state civic broadcast network, providing gavel-to-gavel access to government proceedings and events at the state capitol.